Hello, listeners. Welcome to this week's episode of Infamous Eternal Champions. I'm Jeremy, here with my most awesome co-hosts, Aaron and Kenny. I'm not going to ask how you're doing because we are doing amazing things in preparation for Adepticon. Kenny, are you ready for Adepticon?
Almost completely ready.
Why is your entire life almost?
Because that's how I live my life. Almost there. Almost got it. Almost. We're talking about Aaron, painting, right?
Aaron, are you ready?
You're going to need to more nuancedly define ready. Like mentally, physically, models. What do you mean by that?
Well, according to everything that pops up on Facebook and TikTok now, there's a blue pill that'll get us all ready.
Oh, really? I need this blue pill then. Are you going to bring it?
Today's episode is sponsored by Bullshit You See on Facebook.
I have many blue pills. It's up to you to decide which one is the good one.
So this episode, we are going to discuss all things Adepticon. I actually wanted to start with, Kenny, you have not been to Adepticon, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Aaron, you've been many times, right?
Do we count twice as many?
Yes. Oh, Jesus, no.
Oh.
So you've only gone twice. Okay.
I've only gone twice.
So I'm the veteran here. I think I've gone maybe 12 times. I was 12? Just going to give a little... Yeah, probably.
Wow.
Maybe even more than 12. So they have, like, the biggest team tournament, like, probably in the world, I'm guessing, for 40K. It is completely insane. And that was some of the most fun I've ever had gaming, ever of all time. And, every time I come back, I see all the people that was there, and half of them are playing 40K still. Half of them are running around doing other things. But for gaming experiences, man, this is one of the tip-top. Did you experience that, Aaron? Would you say this is one of the tip-top ones?
I would say this is one of them. Although I am less a sucker for big cons than a lot of people. So for me, I'm going to go play, you know, 10 games of MCP and 5 games of Judgment and 3 games of Blood Bowl. Like, the fact that there's 7,000 other people there is both awesome and a detriment. Whereas for a lot of other people, it is just pure awesome sauce. So I don't want to rain on their parade. I think Adepticon is very cool. But for me, it's there's an equal number of pluses and minuses.
Is it bigger than LVO?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Because LVO only has, I would call them even a handful of games. I mean, granted, it has a lot. Adepticon has everything. And it has every vendor that's, like, all gaming. So it is a big, big con. So let's see. What was I going to tell you? So being you can buy, like, you can go there and buy, like, airbrush sets. And you can see models painted by Golden Demon winners. Everything gaming. Like, to me, it's one of those things where I get to basically time travel. And I get to go back to, like, the first time I was there, and it feels pretty much like you never left. Like, I don't got to worry about work. I don't have to worry about any people that aren't really gaming in my life and just be a part of, like, a massive crowd of people doing, you know, fun hobby stuff. So that's why I enjoy those a lot. So anyway, we're going to talk more about the packet that was released a couple months ago, probably. For Adepticon and kind of Kenny says he's never looked at it because rules and what you're supposed to do really is meaningless. He's going to show up. He's going to push his will upon you and yeah, you're going to have a great time.
Yeah, so, I don't read shit.
I ain't reading your shit.
Reading nerd.
Aaron, was there anything that jumps out at you as being different or special or interesting?
Nothing specifically. No.
So the one thing I thought was interesting is in it's the 5S event, so the 5x5. It's the first auto qualifier for the end of the season for Judgment Masters. So Judgment Masters will be held at LVO. Now, the thing I find kind of odd about that is I was at the 5x5 at LVO last year. And, I mean, why not just, I'll consider myself I won the thing, right? There was only one or two. I love where the direction of this company's going, but do we think that that's going to be a huge event at LVO?
I'm going to say yes. Okay. I think reading tea leaves, which again could there's no like official hardcore data, but it seems like there's a lot of different people picking up the game and playing the game in different metas. Now that is probably localized to, you know, someone and their three or four closest buddies, and whether that's going to turn into 10 to 12 and, you know, local game nights, or if it's just going to be a garage basement kind of thing, I don't know. But from the people that are hopping on Discords and posting new questions, and then even the people we know who are getting into the game, it definitely seems like the game is on the way up. So I have high hopes that large tournaments a la Adepticon and LVO are going to be sold out at the 32, 64, potentially 128 person. Not this year, but, you know, 128, maybe in 2 years or so, we can hope.
I really hope so. I just read that and I was thinking, man, I've kind of forgot that this is a way to qualify for that. And I was looking at it going, oh, it's in Vegas. Oh, yeah, I was in the Vegas. Okay, I did a little bit. I was like, wait a second. Okay, yeah. So I will say, following, you know, what you said, we have sold out of all the starter boxes. There's lots of models off the wall. Like, people are buying this game like crazy. I'd love to see it just explode. And at least in our area, it has exploded.
Yep.
Eligible models. So those are fine. We know what that is, right? Player responsibilities. Bring your shit. So how does it say we'd have to track our health here? What does it say?
Ooh, so this was one of the highlights that I really liked.
Okay.
Maybe I can find it. Bottom line, it says you have to track your health. There has to be something physically on the table that will allow your opponent to follow along with the game. So I really like the core concept of, like, there needs to be a shared game state available to both players, without telling people exactly how they have to do that, right? So two thumbs up for whether it was Wonky Kong or Creature Caster or Gunmeister who actually put the rules together, but I really appreciate that.
I think one thing that we were saying from the beginning, and maybe we came across as it's not being done right or whatever, I don't know how we came across, but everything is right in the end of the paragraph. It says, to see the damage and conditions readily and at a glance, that's all I ask. So that's great that they have that. The person with, you know, a couple of beads and, you know, you can't read their cards, that's real tough. So good. So we must bring models and judgment dice. And so they're going to supply monsters, huh? I see that here. Okay, and we're going, they're using chess clocks. Is that true?
I think it's absolutely. 55 minute chess clocks.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. All right, Kenny, you want me to read the model and painting for you, just in case? There's a lot of people that are worried.
I see like four big words in there, so you should definitely read it to me.
Okay. It says here, right here, and it's clear. Kenny, get your shit together.
Together, okay.
Wrap this up, B.
I'm wrapping it up. I'm getting there. Do we want to talk about what I did today?
Oh, man. Could you? I think this is a good segment. Da-da-da-da. What did Kenny paint or / not paint?
We're just dropping it right in the middle of this.
I mean, I might as well just say it.
All right. I finished Lorabella from nothing to finished. Done.
Wait. The whole model.
The whole model is done. I will pick it up.
Who are you and what did you do with the Kenny we know and love?
This model, I don't know how well you can see her here.
She's never show a model on a webcam again.
Well, all right. I even painted the sandbags. Colors. It's got color. There's stuff there. Don Rigar is, everything's done but basing.
Okay.
I already said Marcus is completely done. Saiyan's got her cloak and her little jumpsuit completed. So I've got, the only model I have left to complete is Saiyan for my warband, unless I switch something up, which I might, Barnaskis, maybe, I don't know. We're going to talk about that, but,
okay.
I am good to go. MCP, not as much, but I'm going to get there as well. I'm going to knock it out. Okay. I got 4 days.
And it's my understanding, Aaron, that you finished your last model for your warband.
I finished the last model that might be in my warband. I have not decided on the warband I'm going to take, but I finished up Nias this morning, and she is in consideration for the warband. So,
okay, Excellent.
31 models. Sorry. That counts the monsters. I have 16 heroes. One of the some version of those 16 will form my warband.
All right. So, conversions. I don't know who would want to do any of that. Sportsmanship. Be nice to people. Cool. Let's see. Formats and time schedule. This one's important. Probably need to look at that. It looks like the 3v3 is going to be starting at 9 a.m. So get up. You got to fucking get there. Be there ready to go at 9 a.m. Are you guys playing in the 3v3 at all?
I am not.
No.
Okay, we can skip that then.
I mean, do we want to talk about it for people that maybe are playing in the 3v3?
Oh, God. Why do we care? Okay. Go, Kenny. What do you have to say about 3v3?
Well, I'm just saying it starts at 9. There's, five rounds, 45-minute chess timers.
Mm-hmm. There's a lunch. You get a lunch break.
You get a lunch. You get a lunch at 12:30, between 12:30 and 1. So you get a half-hour lunch. Okay.
It's not a lot of time. Play fast.
It's eating shit fast.
So here's for what I'm going to be doing and what I might recommend to the people in my vast years of con experience is bring energy bars and a water bottle. I will show up to the convention hall and I won't leave until it's time to go back to the hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
So lunch break is an opportunity to sit down and actually eat your energy bar. Go ahead.
So I'm going to give you some tech on top of that. Bring your water bottle, bring your whatever, the big straw and the 4-gallon thing that people run around with these days, or just a water bottle, and get yourself those little energy packet things that you pour in the drink.
Get the Mios.
And that changes, oh my God.
The Mios are fucking fantastic.
Those change your life.
Yes.
They're delicious. I drink them a lot. And you add it to water and, oh man. Yep. So do yourself a favor. Do
get
that.
Get your electrolytes.
Yep. Because you're going to need it. When playing Kenny, he's going to stress you out. You are going to be hungry. He's going to be mad. And look,
I'm going to be hungry. Take care of yourself. Fat. So no, I like to eat during games.
He'll bring out a piece of chicken from his pocket.
Don't be shocked. Chicken. Well, I used to do pocket dogs, but don't be surprised if I reach into a bag and pull out like 4 beef sticks. I may offer you one if I'm thinking about it. If I'm deep in the think tank, you're not going to get an offer. You'll have to ask
One day old tater tots from your little pouch in the front of your pants.
You think I'm joking? I used to do
pocket dogs.
And
then ketchup.
Dogs.
Little ketchup packets to be squirting on them while playing the game.
No, I didn't.
I just
raw dogged them. I would go to the gas station and get like 5 hot dogs. They're wrapped in tinfoil. And you just pull them out of your backpack. Hey, look, a hot dog. Yummy. Get in my belly.
So we're introducing Kenny on the world. So you're welcome. Enjoy that, folks.
Hey, it worked. I was not hungry.
Okay, so that's 3v3. I will say 3v3, though. I would like to play in that. That's really fun. I just have other things. Adepticon is crazy with events. It's a different game.
It's
very fun.
If you've not played 3v3, I would really give it a think about it, because it is a vastly different game.
I agree. All right, round pairing. So if you played in tournaments before, you're going to see that. It's going to be random. I think we just found out that it's going to be non-friends first, right?
First round should be people who are not on your Longshanks friends list. So if you travel with someone in the car, you don't actually have to be friends with them in real life, but you should be a Longshanks friend unless you want to play them round one. Speaking from long history and experience multiple times of traveling, getting a hotel, not even to play in a huge con, just to go play in a Blood Bowl tournament, and then being paired up against my son round one. I'm like, really? I could have done this for $200 and 10 hours of my life cheaper. And the event organizer was extremely apologetic and has made sure it hasn't happened since then. But I still give him a side eye every time I see him, and he just looks away.
Oh, that happened to Jeremy and I. Where we played each other.
It sucked.
Yeah. Nothing is worse than that feeling. And it's not us trying, personally, I'm not trying to game any system, right? I'm not trying to, ooh, I win and you win. We don't have to play each other. As soon as round two is on, just bring it. At that point, it's just random, you know, because you don't want to game it. But it's just that round one horrible feeling of all you did was travel, you know, across five states and play the guy that you play every Thursday night.
Yeah. So. I mean, we've all probably played 100 games into each other just in the last, what, 6 months between MCP and Judgment and everything else. But driving up to Chicago, to round one, hey, Jeremy and I are playing round one. It's like, well, we just played, you know, 2 days ago and then 3 days before that. And
yeah,
you know, that was not great.
The goal is to meet in the final, but if we meet up, you know, anywhere rounds two through four, that'd also be fine.
I'll choose to not be fine, but we can. I'd rather not.
Okay. So again, make sure you are friends with each other on Longshanks and send a DM or something. We can talk you through how to do it. It's pretty easy.
Let's see here. Game round timing. So 10 minutes between rounds, chess clock. So during the communion phase, you are going to pause the clock. So don't forget that. The rest of the game is played with the clock being active. So let's see. During pick ban. Pick ban. Your clock must be ticking. So, yeah, communion phase, you get to pause. Everything else is on the clock. So get to your table, set up, start fucking playing, man. You're going to burn your clock up, and you're going to hate yourself.
Yep, and the clock is really just there to ensure that the game can be played within the round timer with both players having fair access to the time as a resource with which they can use to make their decisions. Of note, for some people who haven't played in this particular environment before, when your clock goes out, you don't lose.
What happens, Aaron? What happens? Tell us, please.
Okay, you get another minute to finish your turn. And after which, your opponent gains a bank soul.
What?
Yeah, so if your time runs out, you have a maximum of four more turns before you auto lose.
Yep.
And that assumes that your opponent didn't have any bank souls to begin with. So it is essentially an I lose button, but you know, if it's a really tight game, you might be able to pull it out. So your clock goes off, you get 1 minute, and then your opponent gets a bank soul. And then after their turn, if the game is still going, it would go back to you. You would have 1 minute for your turn, after which your opponent would get another bank soul. So 1 minute turns with bank souls after each of them after your clock expires.
Do we want to talk about clock etiquette? Like, is there any type of things that we want to discuss, or?
Sure. So we'll talk about the chess clock rules, and then we can talk about etiquette. So the rules is, after you have completed your phase, you turn your clock to your opponent. The clock is not paused when a hero is attacked by a monster outside of the communion phase. The player who owns the hero that caused the monster attack keeps the clock ticking and resolves it on their own time. Like, whether that monster is attacking me or attacking you, it doesn't matter. If it's my turn, it's my clock. That's really the only chess clock rule that they have. I think what you're talking about with etiquette is, what if it's on my turn and you have a decision to make? Like, am I going to bodyguard this? Am I going to redirect or not? The way I will treat that is, if you say, I would like to think about redirecting, I will immediately clock over to you.
Yep.
And then if that takes you 1 second to be like, yes, clock back to me, and I then start rolling the dice. And that's just from playing a bunch of different games where, how long do I wait before I clock to you? Do I give you? And so normally it's about 5 to 10 seconds. Like, if after you have said, I might want to redirect, I'll like count to five potato and then I'll clock over to you. So it's not immediate. Generally, if my opponent needs to do something short on my clock, that's fine. But if they're ever thinking about something, like whether they want to do something, at that point, I'll clock over to them. I will, however, always be very verbal. And I will say, clock is on you, or clock to you, as I clock it over. I won't do it without them knowing it's happening.
I don't disagree with that. Yep. I think we've done that already. I just didn't know some other people, like, they feel, from what I know, that when I first started doing chess clocks, I felt like I was being an asshole. If somebody's thinking, I'm like, well, let me think about it. And I'm like, okay, well, you're taking my time. And I always had that impression of, like, of reaching across the table and smacking a clock is kind of aggressive. So I just wanted to, and it took probably like two or three games for me to like not worry about it anymore. But I didn't know if this was like something I just wanted to talk about. Like, if people, Absolutely. People also need to know that when somebody clocks it to them, not to let that affect their game. They're not, somebody's not being an asshole to them. They are playing the game. If you want to think about it, okay, you want to think about redirect, clock to you, take your time, think about it all you want.
And actually, I, as the person thinking about the redirect action, again, I've played on clock for so long in different game systems that I will just be like, clock to me. And a lot of times the person's like, what? I'm like, I'm thinking about something and I'm going to take at least 10 to 15 seconds. So I will either reach over and I will actually clock it over to me, or I will say clock to me while I'm thinking about it. I will almost never, again, it's just part of my habit pattern now where I will make sure the clock is on me if I'm thinking I'm on their turn.
Yeah, I got that from you because I say that too. I found myself saying clock to me, like send it to me and I'll think about it.
Yep. Jeremy, you have any comments on clock?
I think the only thing that comes up, at least in my world, is the clock will be on you and someone won't stop asking you questions on your turn. I don't have a good solution for that, but that's the only problem I find with the whole clock system. And I think that's probably a problem of your opponent that is just struggling to get through and just grinding you down with that. But at the end of the day, you'll probably still win that game. But it can burn your clock. So pay attention to that while, you know, if someone's asking you stuff on your turn all the time. But that's it. There isn't a good way to deal with that.
I have found that if somebody's asking questions, like if somebody says, hey, can I see your card? I will pick the card up, I will hand it to them, and then I'll clock to them. If my card is not on my side of the table or in my hand, that means I can't play what I'm doing. I can't do what I'm doing. So I will clock to them. Read the card, take your time, read the card. But I can't finish my turn until the card's back on my side of the table. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
It makes sense. I think it's a fluid situation.
Yeah.
Like I think clocking to them immediately would not be wrong. Like if the person's annoying me with how much they're asking me, I will tell them either please don't. I've never actually had this interaction, but in my head, I would either ask them to please not interrupt my turns because I'm trying to think about what I want to do, right? And if you interrupt my train of thought all the time, that could be very disruptive. Or I would be like, I'm happy to answer questions on my clock, but then I will clock it to you every time you have a question.
I've only had it happen to me once, and it was in MCP, and I think you guys know the situation, and it was awkward, to say the least, but again, anytime he started talking, I just clocked it to him, I'm like, are you good? Like, are you done?
Yeah. These are pretty, pretty rare, because most of any game I've played has been,
it's rare.
Yeah, we're both there to play a game and have fun and roll dice, so.
If it's not my turn, exception. I try to shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
it's also being that this game is, you know, most of these characters I know kind of a sketch of what they do. So even on my turn, when I'm trying to move a model, I'm still trying to read sometimes and learn exactly what I'm capable of. And then your opponent says something or asks something and you're like, really? Fuck. God damn, dude. Like, you know, it just ruins your train of thought and eats your clock. That's just the only thing that I've had come up recently. And it's because the game is new to me. Like playing MCP, I don't feel that way at all. I'm like, you know, it's a 7, it's 3, it's short, you know, like the answers are easy to come by. Whereas this game, sometimes they're not, especially when you're new. But I love that there's a clock here. I don't want anything to be thought of other than it's amazing that we're using a clock for this reason. Most likely nothing's going to come up of it, except you'll lose the game if you play slow.
99.9% of the time, chess clocks are no problems. It's you get the yep. really, really, really rare outlier of weird shit happening. But those are super bad. Like you guys both said, you never had an instance where it happened. I had one in all the gaming experience that we all have. So
mm-hmm. I'm willing to bet that several of our games are going to come down to time on one side or the other.
I'm assuming some of mine are because I try to play fast, but then like I get bogged down in my own shit sometimes.
So I'm not sure, like other game systems have a like MCP specifically, like I've never clocked an MCP and I never will. Like there's kind of a set end, if you will, and you can kind of progress how close you're getting to that end.
Mm-hmm.
In Judgment, you could be progressing toward that end and all of a sudden it gets reset and you're like, well, yep. Nope.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, well, We're back to 0-0, and now we only have 12 minutes to finish the game. So, like, I would kind of feel bad clocking in MCP. I don't know that I would feel bad clocking in Judgment. So it would come down to the game specifics and why clock became an issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, does concern me, but and the only reason it does is because I've had those slogfests. Like, Mowgli and I played like a 3-hour game because we reset the game twice. Like, twice we were at 4-3 and we reset it down to like 1-1.
In which case, the faster player will win that game due to the way the clock rules work.
Yeah.
And I think I'm okay with that because you have to have a way to make sure that a game is played in a 2-hour time from start to finish, mm-hmm. including communion phases, right?
Yep,
and so I have nothing but probably 1 3/4 thumbs up for the way the clock system works in this game.
It's better than a round timer.
We get 1,000.
Oh. Oh.
I will take any...
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. You said that.
I will take any and all losses if I lose that way, as long as it's not a fucking round timer. It's like, oh, I lost. There's
I want to talk about the thing I like the most in this rule packet, and that's on page 10.
Page 10.
The 5v5s, you don't have to look it up, start at 8:30 in the morning on Friday. Sorry, on Saturday. And they end at 8 p.m. on Saturday. God, just, there is something about an entire day of gaming that just gets me so excited.
Uh-huh.
Like, I broke into the con world playing War Machine, and those are longer games, but I would play, like, one scramble into another. Mm-hmm. Until I would get 6 games of War Machine, which is probably 2.5 hours a game total, so we're talking 15 hours of gaming straight, with, like, eating energy bars and drinking. And then you just crash at midnight, you get up and do it again the next day. Like, that, to me, is the con experience. You don't get that at your local, you know, one-day tournament. And so the fact that there's going to be 5 games back to back to back to back to back on Saturday, yeah, I got 2 thumbs up for that, man. Although I realize we should take bets. How many people are going to be in the last round on Saturday? 32 people start. How many are going to finish?
I don't know. It depends. You say back to back to back, and all I can think about is my back fucking hurting.
it's brutal. Like, I'll get done with that. Like, entire weekend of gaming, my feet will hurt, my back will hurt, I'll be so mentally exhausted. It's kind of hard to explain to someone. You feel like you run a marathon.
Yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. It does.
Your brain is like noodles.
So there's going to be 32 people, 5v5, right?
Yep.
How many are going to be at the end?
Yeah, how many people will be playing in round 5?
6.
Oh my god.
I think there's going to be actually more than that. I think the Judgment community seems like they're in it. I don't see a lot of people dropping like what we saw at MCP. So I bet there's 22, 26? 24. We'll call 24.
Man, I was going to say 24. At least, I'll have to go 24. 22 now. I'll go 22.
At least 24. We'll see. I think it actually might be more than that. But.
Okay.
I think because of the open gaming, I think that might be more exciting and easier on people. Just because we've had a lunch. There really isn't a good spot to eat for dinner. People want to go out and stuff. Like, that's why I say 6, not because, you know, just dropping to drop. I think that, and a con is crazy. Like, there's so much shit going on. People are going in all directions. And, you know, that's just my guess, though. It could be, you know, who knows?
Okay.
I mean, if I'm 1-3, I would probably say, you know, I don't need to play this last game. I'm hungry, or I want to go check this out, or I want to go look at the vendor hall. I'm sure I'll have enough time to do all those things anyway.
But yeah, you say you will. I have been to WithCon twice and never had an opportunity to go to the vendor hall.
I want to make a point to go to the vendor hall because this is my first time going.
You're not wrong.
So if I'm at a point where I'm 1-2, I might just be like, hey, I'm going to go ahead and drop now and I'm going to check the vendor hall out. Especially if there's an odd number, say, well, somebody's going to have a buy. I'm like, I'll just go ahead and drop. I'm cool. Like, I would like to play another game, but I'm going to go check out the vendor hall. I'm going to go roam and do stuff and check some shit out. Because, like I said, I've never been, and I want to go see that stuff.
Sure.
So you were saying, Aaron, games all weekend kind of thing. Like, I remember, so I am the age I am, old guy. And so it was 20 years ago, probably, 27. Yeah, maybe. And they had TempleCon. TempleCon was New England, and they had all night gaming. So the restaurant would stay open, and you would go in. It'd be 4 a.m, and you're eating dinner food, and it would have like $5 food. Like, it was cheap because it was based around the con. We would lose track of days. We didn't even know what day it was, what time it was. I recorded 26 games of War Machine over the course of 3 days. Dude, I was completely destroyed. I think I probably slept a day and a half and like woke up. Like, I didn't even know where I was at. It was completely crazy. But yeah, the con experience, that's the con experience. Sleeping with 2 hours, waking up, playing in another tournament all day, and 2 hours sleeping and tournament all day. Those were the days.
I need a little more than two, but otherwise, I'm with you. Mad respect.
If you haven't thrown up on the building you're playing at, you're missing out. You're missing out on something.
Okay.
I don't plan on doing any of that shit. There's going to be no throwing up. If I get to a point to where I get like really hangry, I don't care if I'm 4-0. I'm like, I'm out, guys.
Like, dude, I'm bringing a rhino dart. I'm just going to run over and fucking shoot you in the neck.
It's not the first time I've like 3-0, 4-0 dropped.
Gonna have to rhino dart you.
You might.
All right, so that's the packet. Anything else to be said about that?
No.
Do you like all the maps? I mean, are we good with the maps? Like, is there any maps you hate?
I mean, we want to get into a map discussion.
I mean, is there any maps on here that you fucking hate that every time you play it, it makes me angry?
Like, I fucking hate 6. I fucking hate 7. I hate wide open maps.
Okay.
Not a fan. Okay. There's map 7, and I know somebody put time and effort into making the maps. I'm not trying to shit on the maps.
I don't know about all that. I mean, they're just made on fucking Vassal. So.
I don't know who made them. I have no clue, no idea. I've not looked into it, not researched it at all. I get the concept of having one shrine in the middle of the table with 4 monster pits.
Dude, that's my favorite map.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, all those little monsters, I can kill those.
No, the monster pits are fine. It's the one shrine in the middle of the table with nothing around it. No cover, no forest, no, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 hexes in every direction with just nothing.
So
not a fan.
I think I like maps like that, as long as there are also maps that do have a lot of line of sight blocking stuff around the center, right? I think your warband needs to be able to deal with wide open areas and congested areas.
I don't think any of the maps really have a lot of stuff in the center of them.
No, so you are correct, and that's I think a valid point.
Like almost all of them have this, like, especially the ones that we're playing in this event. And this might just be the rotation of maps that happened for this. I don't know. Are we calling them seasons or whatever we're calling them? I noticed the maps are a lot of more wide open stuff. But again, we got into the game at a time where maps were changing, right? So the old maps that we had, there was a lot of stuff in the center. I maybe probably got used to that, and I kind of liked it. I typically play more brawly list anyway. I like to get in there and brawl. I'm not a huge fan of just shooting shit the entire game. These maps tend to focus more on shooting, and that's probably just why I'm, I don't know, being a little baby about it, butthurt about it. I don't know. I just, when I played on the maps, it just didn't feel great that you said these giant wide open spaces.
Okay.
I think anyway.
I'm going to go back to my original statement many episodes ago, which is, Kenny, have you ever experienced something where it was like lukewarm water and you sat in it and you were like, you know what? A group of people had a grand idea, and I see nothing wrong with it. Move on.
Normal people have those thoughts? Is that what's happening? I don't
know. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, so then I guess that I'm wrong. I can admit. Oh no,
there, it's a shooting. It's a shooting gallery now. Like obviously, the maps are a shooting gallery. Yeah. And that's okay. Some of them are.
My list is not really prepared for that, which is fine. It is what it is. I had my opinion. I said my opinion. People can be mad at me, I guess.
Everyone's mad at you, Kenny. Everyone. Mm-hmm. Let's start. Okay. So how many people locally do we have going to Adepticon?
Adepticon and just as an Adepticon as a whole or playing in Judgment?
Just as a whole, our group. I think our entire group is playing other than Parker, right?
Brandon's not playing.
True.
Jim.
Parker. I don't know who Jim is.
So what's the Adepticon meta then?
I think we have 10 people from KC going, and I think 7 of us are playing Judgment.
Okay.
Maybe 8.
Is it Quentin? The 3 of us. Quentin, Ryan. That's 5. Perrin's not going.
I'm not sure if Spellshock is playing.
Richard's not going. Aaron, yeah, England is going, but I don't know what he's playing.
I also don't know what he got into, yeah. So maybe there's only 6 of us playing Judgment.
Okay.
Who else? Jake's not going.
Cool.
Yeah.
Super. So there's a really good chance that folks listening and going to Adepticon is going to run into one of us, and hopefully you fall flat on your face and have a bunch of mistakes and let Jeremy just slide through. Thank you.
I hope every single one of my opponents wins, and they can talk about how great of a sportsman I am.
How much money do I have to put on that bet?
I don't know.
$1 billion. Everything I have, everything everyone I know has. The bet is Kenny does not rage out one time.
You're really giving me,
pay me my money.
Bad reputation.
No, you give yourself your bad reputation. That's not us. Okay, so let's jump into it. I'm going to take a list. I'm going to tell you the models that I like, and I'm going to put in. You're going to tell me which god this should go in, or what I'm doing here. Okay.
So are you just going to give us 7 models, or like more than 7? We're going to trim them down.
No. I'm going to give you 7, and then we can talk about it and change if we want to. Oh. But these are the models I like, and then I'll tell you the god I have them in after you kind of guess where it is. Okay. So Brock, because he's awesome. Victor, because he's awesome. Masuzi, also awesome. Ankura, I need a tanky model. Cruel, I need a good Soul Gazer, and I love Bloodlust. Allender, because that guy is stupid good. And Drogoth, stupid good. So Drogoth, Allender, Cruel, Ankura, Masuzi, Victor, Brock. My beaters, so I got Drogoth and Brock. Range, I've got Allendir, Soul Gazer, Cruel. I've got kind of a mixed bag here with Victor, Masuzi, and Ankura. Obviously, Masuzi is a Soul Gazer, but kind of tank, kind of whatever. Thoughts, dreams, aspirations. What god is this?
I want to let Kenny go first.
What god is this? So you're kind of all over the place.
It's kind of awesome is what it is.
I mean, your list is really similar to my list. We'll get to in a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
I want to say Krognar.
Okay.
Because you're going to have Victor
and Cruel? Is that it?
Yeah, Victor. It's Victor and Cruel. But your effigy power bonus turn, you can have another model be a part of that with the Umbra Sphere. But Allendir probably
it's not Krognar, so don't go down that road.
Oh, okay.
So the idea here is, and I guess it wasn't obvious, so it didn't jump out at you, because it's not obvious. I like Torin because of the AP bonus at the effigy. And if you don't ban Victor dying and coming back with full AP seems fucking amazing to me. So if he's not an auto ban. So to me, if he gets banned, then I've got all kinds of amazing tools I get to drop. I get to drop my full boat of melee beaters. I can drop both of my Soul Gazers and Allendir on you. So it's a really good list, regardless. And being that I get my full AP, everyone comes blasting right back. So that's my thoughts. Is there any models or thoughts on these, or am I wrong?
I mean, I understand why he's in there, but Dragoth, I would like to see him out and someone that could use the effigy power bonus in.
I'm going to hard disagree, only because Jeremy has done really, really well with Dragoth recently.
Okay.
And I think you want two melee beat sticks, because if he takes one of them out and I just ban the other one,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that I'm not sure any warband is, you know, unwinnable, but mm-hmm. Ankura, Victor, Alendir, Mizuzi, Cruel does not really strike fear into my heart.
On the effigy turn, it could.
Well, what? Sure. Okay.
So, just okay, saying. You say Dragoth out, potentially. So who would be another beater I would put in instead of Dragoth? I'm running two. I need two.
Yeah.
And I don't count Victor's monsters as beaters. Like,
no,
I
would not either. Well, I mean, if you play me, I'm banning that fucking dude anyway. So
good. I already knew you would.
Yeah.
Then you're going to catch Alendir, Dragoth, Brock, probably Cruel, and probably Masuzi.
I don't give a shit what else is there. I bring all that on. You can just take that model and just walk it right out the door.
Okay, so what? Yeah, so Dragoth would be replaced by a model that is in Tauren, which a Tauren model would be?
I mean, I like Styx. I understand he's not a melee beater, but he can... If you get a soul on him, he can kind of slot into that role a little bit. But he also does a lot of other things. Tauren doesn't really have another melee beater. You got Adathos, but...
Thrommel. I mean, I could put Thrommel. He's a melee guy.
No, not without extensive practice.
You would need
I don't plan on doing it.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that. I mean, if that's where you think that the weakness is that, you know, Dragoth is a weakness and could be replaced. I don't see a replacement.
Thorgar
is a one for one.
Yes, but that's a one for one.
Yep.
Yes, I think Styx brings more value.
Okay.
Over the course of a game or long term than Dragoth will. My personal opinion, because I think Styx is amazing.
Okay, so I'm going to raise you instead of Styx. I could put Styx in for Ankura, because Ankura doesn't really see play that much unless.
I like what you've done with Ankura, though. Like, I know. Every time you've played Ankura against me, I want to be like, fuck! I got the stupid bell.
Ankura's a problem, and that's kind of tanky for me. Like, Ankura's kind of my tank. I don't really want to drop
Ankura, take Ankura out, I feel like you do need a tank. Like, you need a Sky or maybe a Thrommel. I think Ankura's fine. I would argue if you're... I would argue taking Ankura out, though, for a actual quote-unquote tank, like a legit tank. But I understand why Ankura is there.
So, normally I would say Victor has to leave if you put Styx in. They both love to use Fate. They're both very Fate-heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure playing Victor and Styx at the same time makes a whole lot of sense, unless the rest of your warband absolutely uses no Fate. I would also...
And that's... Yeah. Go ahead.
I'd have to take a look at exactly what your DPS outlook, you know, kind of tends to be if you're running, like, tank, double support, soul harvest. I'm sure it can be played, but it's a question mark in my head I haven't tested. So if you wanted Styx in there, which I love, I would contemplate getting rid of one of your soul harvesters. Then you're down to one, and if that gets banned, can you live with Styx being your primary soul harvester at a four?
I don't think so. The idea here is if I get to take both, that's just fine because Masuzi has the ability to decay. And decay is amazing. I can get things that can be then beat to death by Brock and Dragoth, and Cruel with Bloodlust and all of that. I really don't want to lose any of those models specifically because of Brock and Dragoth needing those buffs, in my opinion. So I'm not really practiced with Styx. I see what he does. I know his deal. But the economy of Fate spending and what he does, he always puts me in a hole. Because I use him and do all those things, and all of a sudden I'm like, wait, I need Fate for the bell. I need Fate for lighting people on fire, doing extra damage with Alendir. Like, I'm not very good with that. So Styx is probably next level and probably the right choice, but not for me right now.
I don't think Styx is as fate heavy as some of the other models we've talked about, though. His astral split, yes, costs an AP and a fate, but his ethereal passage is just one AP. Nullify is usually not also a fate, because not a whole lot of abilities are a, like, just straight up a fate.
So let me ask you this then. So Torin, the Avatar's Bastion, am I missing out on using the Avatar? I haven't missed it so far, but I can be convinced.
I don't think so.
I think you ditch Victor, so you'd make a choice. They're just different styles of play. Mm-hmm.
Victor, to me, is my bait for catching, and I don't want to say this in case someone plays against me, but I assume I'm never going to get to play with Victor. And if I switch him with Bastion, I think that that allows for question marks, which I don't really like that. I don't want to ban something that I actually think is useful, because Victor is useful against anything, whereas the rest of it, like, oh, I don't know what I do.
So if you put Bastion in instead of Victor, what happens when somebody just bans Alan Deere?
Depends on soul pit numbers and things like that. Like, if they ban... Yeah, I don't like that at all.
Because so a lot of the Tauren lists you see are, right or wrong, I just know that I see a lot of them, they are Alan Deere Astariel. So that when you ban one, they get the other. Or if they get or like when I've played against people, I say, well, I'm not going to ban either one of them, because why bother? Then they go, oh, well, I can pick whichever one is best for what I want to do, or whichever one I feel more comfortable playing. They're also both in God. They also both can use the effigy power turn to, like, really nuke something or someone. I just thought I would ask that question, because while I understand Victor can be ban bait, what is he bringing you? Is he bringing you something that you absolutely like? If you get to play Victor, is he doing something that's just that you really want to do, that is a part of your general plan? If he's not,
so I think Victor answers almost every question.
I can't disagree.
Get there. Victor can teleport there. You can't do damage. He can play something that can. Like, to me, he's in all answers. And if you let me play him, I can figure out a way to win the game. If I don't get to play him, then I have to actually figure it out kind of on my own. But that's just what I've seen recently. So what I'm hearing is I haven't made any critical errors. And if I play this, I'll be okay. I mean, we've played games and I've been okay. I just didn't know if I was missing anything, because everyone does use Astariel. Like, I feel like, am I dumb for having two Soul Gazers and not having Astariel as one of them?
No,
but I really like Cruel and Bloodlust.
What do you mean?
I do feel Astariel's like not you a soul need...
No. Astariel being that she's in...
Oh, in Torin?
Torin.
Got it.
And she blows shit up real hard during the effigy turn.
I think you could argue Astariel over Alan Deere.
I think you could as well. I personally like Alan Deere more, because I think with some of these maps, with the single soul pit in the center or the single shrine in the center, and people are going to go for it, it might get congested up there and he can do some AoE stuff. But I think Astariel is a better single target nuker.
Yeah, she also has the armor pierce. But if you're worried about res, you could force Brock to 3 as quick as possible and then just start using molten metal.
Yep.
Mizuzi's also great into res. So you've got a couple things that I don't think you need Astariel over Alan Deere for.
Okay.
I think it's kind of a toss-up. Trip when you want.
Yeah. Okay. It's I think not I'm okay difficult. With Alan Deere. He's fine. I've done plenty of good work with that. I can't seem to get the ebb and flow of Astariel. Like, she tends to die on me because I'm probably too aggressive with her, honestly. A lot of times I see people be very successful with the, you know, move out, shoot, move back. Like, but when she hangs out there, there's usually something that destroys her. And Alan Deere can stay a little bit further back.
Try giving her boots of agility. So then she's AG6 just standing out there. So if somebody comes into her, they're going deep into your line because she's a range 5 model. And if they go into her, they're going deep into the line, and she's agility 6. That doesn't, I mean, that's not a, she's not just going to get nuked. Probably not. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm taking. I will ponder those things. Let's move on. Who would like to go next?
I guess it's going to be me.
All right, Kenny. What you got?
I am still playing Ista. I think this might be... I've hit it pretty hard. It might be my last, I don't want to say, swan song, but I probably won't play Ista after Adepticon for a little while. But I'm still kind of playing a lot of the same stuff, so I'm playing... let me bring it up here. It is Isabel, Alan Deer, Brock, Donregar, Lorabella, Marcus, and Saiyan. I do have thoughts, but what do you guys think about what you've played against my list before?
So what's the idea is, like you've done in all the other games, everything just lives forever kind of thing?
It's the idea that I have for the list, and it's changed a little bit when I put Alan Deer in, is to basically just kind of sit on people's chest and you just kind of slowly constrict them where I'm healing, my models are not dying, your models are slowly ticking away until like I get a big turn where I kill two models in the same turn, because a lot of your models are sitting on like half their health. Alan Deer was hopefully helping with that. I had Barnaskis in there, and I'm still thinking about putting Barnaskis back in, because he's a model that is can hit hard and also is a dwarf that heals more with Lorabella and has res one, and he can repair himself.
Give me a rundown of your list again so I can put that on the notes.
It is, what do you got? Isabel, Alan Deer, Brock, Donregar, Lorabella, Marcus, Saiyan. I have contemplated taking Saiyan out, putting a different model in that place, but Saiyan also offers a nice heal. I'm not sure.
She's done so much good work for you.
Yeah, I'm not sure what I would... I really hate the range 3. It's really, really bad. She heals a lot. Putting Holy Shield on models is pretty good. I can put Augury on it. Like, I picked up a soul with Marcus because I put Augury on him. When Isabel got banned, and I used him as my second soul harvester. But what I do like about the list is that when we start looking at, like, soul harvesting and jack of all trades stuff, Marcus is a Soul Harvest 4. Saiyan is a 6. Lorabella is a 4. Barnaskis, when I was taking him, he's a 4. Alan Deer is a 3. And Brock, I think, is also a 3. Donregar is also a 3. So, but basically, like, it's not out of the realm of possibility that Marcus walks up standing next to Donregar and Lorabella on a Soul Pit, and he can pick it up on a 6-up. Because there's two of them standing there. And nobody wants to be standing in front of Lorabella, Marcus, and Donregar. Well, not a lot of people don't. But
yeah. So what would you say your top 5 models, like if you could pick the ones and not get anything banned, what would you play?
Brock, Isabel, Lorabella, Saiyan, and then typically it's Donregar, but I'm starting to lean more towards Marcus. Just so that he can put res on, for example, Isabel. Also putting it on Saiyan. His wall is pretty efficient, and Blizzard. Like, I'm actually contemplating Marcus to level 3 so I can use Blizzard.
Tell me Blizzard again. Is that the minus 2 to...
Minus 2 to range, magic, and soul harvest, I want to say.
Ooh. Yep.
Yeah, range 2. It is... 2 hexes away from the icon, he puts it within 2 hexes of himself, and then you get -2 range, -2 magic, -2 soul harvest. And you can't pick it up. It's a token that sits on the ground, so it's not even like the bell. You can't do anything to it.
So what happens if somebody bans Brock? Like, how do you kill something?
At that point, that's why I had Alan Deer and Isabel in there, because... And Isabel probably goes down Retribution.
Okay.
And takes the Vorpal Blade, and she's probably doing the, I'm going to clean up the monsters, I'm going to be smacking people. And then I just run her.
What do you think, Aaron?
Yeah.
And Lorabella.
I mean, I would ban Saiyan out of that list. Banning Donregar or Marcus is irrelevant, because just take the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Brock is a good ban.
Yep.
Isabel would also be a good. So you got a bunch of good bands in there, which is there's not an obvious one, right? So I think that's other than not Donegar and Marcus, there's a reason to ban each of your other five. Which means it's obviously a pretty solid, you know, complimentary list if there's not something sticking out as your weakness. That what would stick out to me would be ban your one soul harvester, and now you're going to have to work a little harder to get the souls. Like you said, Marcus plus two buddies. Well, sure, but you've got to get those two buddies there. That may or may not be what you would optimally want to do with them. So, same would be my ban, but I wouldn't love it.
Yeah. Isabel's my backup because she's soul harvest five.
Yeah. I got it. Like,
but yeah, yeah, banning Saiyan puts me in a spot where I got to work a little harder for it. But then I get Lorabella, Isabel, Brock.
Yeah, I know. I get all, a really good team,
my,
so
get all my toys, yeah, which is why I also thought about maybe putting a better Soul Harvester in there, like Cruel,
in lieu of
instead of Saiyan. Yeah, take Saiyan out, put Cruel in
better.
he has the ability to bloodlust like Brock turn one or turn two. He will also have the ability to when he gets a soul on him, he's just becomes infinitely tougher, and he can kind of slide into a brawler role for me as well.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say I lost my TTS game, not primarily, but turn one my opponent Saiyan used dash to get to within two of the soul pit and harvest the soul turn one, mm-hmm. because there was a Fujasha and they spawned it on the 33% chance that they needed and had set up for. So yeah. A lot of things really worked out in their favor, but without saying that didn't happen because you need the dash.
Right.
So I am not in love with Saiyan, but the times I played against her, she's been more annoying than I have given her credit for at the beginning of the game.
I can see that. I'm personally, after playing her a lot more, I'm a little bit more down on her now, just because of the reach three. The reach three really hurts. Like, you don't think about it being like one reach less than a lot of the other stuff, but it does. It hurts. It's not. It does. I feel it.
Okay. I think that's all personal. So
what is it that you would most want to change in that list before you go? Because you were saying
Alan Deer for Barnaskis or Barnaskis for someone. I don't think I could take anybody else out except for Alan Deer.
Yeah, his ability to heal himself and his toughness ability is pretty good.
He's AG3 res 1. He's also mounted because he's on a tank, so he gets the mounted bonus. He is a movement 3 model, so he's a movement 3 dwarf. He's melee 6, range 7. He has Pathfinder. He's got a lot of stuff on him that just works. He can, I think he charges. If he gets two sides on a charge, he can knock you down. If he gets two sides on a shooting, he can light you on fire. He just does a lot. He can, like I said, he also can repair himself. He's got a lot of stuff that I like. So I'm trying to decide, because basically it's Alan Deer, right? I take Alan Deer out and put Barnaskis in. That's kind of my options. And I don't think it's wrong. I've been flopping back and forth on it for a while.
Well, you lose a defense model, right? Like, Alan Deer's, like, his agility's 5, but you gain a model that knocks models down, which is fucking priceless at times.
Can be, yeah.
Ugh. I've gotten my butt kicked by Barnaskis more than once. Like, he is shockingly good.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm kind of at the spot where, like, I just don't know which way I want to go. I could go either way. I could decide it in the car.
Yeah.
I could decide it the morning of. So, I don't know. I'm kind of in that spot. Or it could be decided when I leave here and I don't have it painted.
Well, I mean, you do have Lorabella, and doesn't he get an extra healing or whatever because he's a dwarf?
Yes, if that's...
So, I mean, that synergizes a little
if
bit.
If I'm running them around together, and he's also in Ista, because I was trying to stay all in Ista. That's why I have Saiyan's in there, because that's the only Soul Harvester in Ista.
I don't think you're wrong either way.
I'm just trying to decide which I want to do.
Okay. Are they both painted?
No. Barnaskis is primered and painted. I painted him all green, so I probably wouldn't have to do that much. But Alan Deer is got paint on 100% of him. He's just not like wash shaded. There's no There's not a whole lot of detail stuff, but he is 100% painted.
We heard about his fancy shiny bow, so we know he's pretty much done.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
All right. Aaron, what are you going to do?
I have a 90% thought of what I'm going to do. So,
oh, yeah?
I'm pretty sure I'm taking Krognar because I want to have fun more than I want to win, I think.
I disagree. I think you want to win more than you want to have fun.
Oh, really? Because then I take Ista.
Oh, my God, Krognar. Fuck. All right, so what's in your list so far?
So the list, for sure, is Cruel Victor Kogan. I am pretty sure I add to that Rakir, Nias, Dhanragar, and Astariel. So I've got one tank, Dhanragar, one support, Victor, two soul harvests, Nias and Cruel, and then three damage dealers, Rakir, Kogan, and Astariel, who do their damage in three very different ways. Without explaining any further, what are your thoughts?
I ban Victor.
I play triple DPS tank, soul harvester. Okay.
I don't think you're allowed in this list to play Rakir. I hate that guy in Krognar. But I've seen what you do with Kogan, so God help everyone.
I'm trying to channel my inner Sonny. I really am.
Oh, my God.
Right? Like, I really don't care who you ban. Like, you ban Victor, I get to play, you know, like, Nias Rakir for the poison bombs, along with, like, Donnie, Kogan, Astariel. Okay. You ban Donnie, I just run Rakir, Kogan, Astariel, Victor, and Cruel. Or Nias. Like, I don't think there's a particularly weak link. I'm probably wrong. But that's just my thoughts.
I still ban Victor.
Okay. And I still play a Krognar game trying to kill you.
I accept those terms.
Fair enough. I accept the terms of your surrender.
No, seriously, so Jeremy, who would you ban?
Being that I know what you do with Kogan and probably everyone, I have to get rid of Kogan. He just has too much utility. His ability to hit, his ability to keep rolling dice on you and cut you down. Like, it's just so stupid. And the place with Krognar is the most ignorant shit ever. He's got to go. I ban him.
Okay, so you'd ban Kogan. So I think people will ban Victor, Rakir, or Kogan. I have a single tank. People love to ban single tanks. I could see a Donnie ban.
Mm-hmm.
Only person people I'm pretty sure aren't being banned are Nias and Cruel.
Here's my counter when you talk about the single tank. I would rather you have, like, if you think that you need your tank, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to ban your tank. You're taking Dhanragar. If I ban Victor, who are you leaving at home between Nias, Astariel, Rakir, Kogan, and Cruel? If you're taking Dhanragar.
So a lot of it depends on the actual soul pit map. I am 90% happy to run with one soul harvester.
Right. So then if you're running with one soul harvester, you're either not taking Bloodlust or you're not taking your poison bomb.
Correct.
Okay. I accept.
Okay. I accept the terms given.
Yeah, I'll have to see, like, what are you immune to? How easy is it going to be for Rakir to get the poison himself? You know, all those kinds of things.
Right.
I am usually happy to leave Nias at home and just let Rakir do his own thing to poison with his combat maneuver.
Yeah, that's because he can.
I prefer to play him alone and unafraid, you know, shadow stepping through orbs, you know, getting to level 2 and then GTFOing out.
Yeah, well, you can do that when you cheat with Krognar.
What? He doesn't need it in Krognar. His level 2 is Krognar. He doesn't. Ambivalent. Yeah. But
correct. He doesn't. It's just. Yeah.
So I have played him quite a bit without Nias, and he will have good games and he will have bad games. But his ability to have a good game is always on the table. I'm totally fine to play him without Nias.
Is he typically your monster killer? Like, you want the level to Rakir? Go to him first?
Lately, it's been Kogan getting him monster kills, because getting Kogan to level 3 is just like...
stupid.
Have you ever snorted cocaine? I can answer that. But, nor I have I'll not, answer, but yes. I imagine a level 3 Kogan is that feeling just after you've snorted a bump of cocaine.
Well, you don't know anything about cocaine, sir.
All right, so moving on. Kane is in Krognar. Did you think about taking Kane?
I absolutely do not like Kane outside of Tomas. in very limited experience.
No, I mean, that's fair. He doesn't get to heal back, but he is an absolute butcher.
I would much rather have Drelgoth, I think.
What about Piper? I've seen what your son has done with Piper.
Yeah, and... Piper was in there. I really... so could I run Piper? So the reason I am leery about Piper is because I think the band is already relatively fate heavy. Akira, Kogan, Astariel, and Victor love to spend fate. Downregard doesn't mind it either. Like, I will, you know, stone grass your people left and right. Piper. Yeah. So his enhanced self, the way Perrin's been playing him is like just going early with enhanced self to do whatever the hell he wants.
It's really good.
I know.
And taunt.
But I would. I would need to take a look at some, maybe changing some other people up who don't need fate quite so much. I don't know that Astariel needs it, but I don't know.
Can I sell you on Cradle?
No, you cannot.
Okay. All
right.
Just checking.
I'm intrigued with Piper over Nias.
Yeah, really? I think...
Nias is your baby.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, but you got Cruel. You're fine.
Yeah, but he loves Nias.
I know, but think about a Piper that's got Cruel Bloodlust on him that's been enhanced and backstabs. Woohoo! Smoking.
I mean, that's not wrong.
It's awesome. It's
like
fire.
If they ban Victor, I could drop Donnie because I actually don't like running tanks and just run Cruel, Piper, Akira, Kogan, Astario.
Good. Oh man, just go full bore.
You could do that, yeah.
My only problem is I have so little actual experience with the Piper. Maybe I'll run him this Saturday and see what.
There you go.
See what that looks like. There you go. I'll try him on Saturday and see if I can get leverage out of that or if I need to go back to Nias.
I mean, Nias's defense is great to keep her alive, but I mean, Piper can basically do the same thing, except his stats are better in almost everything.
Yep. Okay.
He's got stupid taunt.
All right, good thing I have both Nias and Piper painted. Woof.
Excellent. Just imagine. I knew that.
Just imagine that if you get to put Victor and Piper on the table at the same time and you make a little demon and you're taunting two people.
Oh my god.
I know, yeah. Right?
You're going to lock the game up.
Yeah, you just had full release. I know you did.
So, here's my question. Is Lugdrug a better in-god tank than Downregard out-of-god?
I'm going to say no.
God, it so depends. It depends on the map. Like, what's going on? It just depends.
Well,
I'd rather see Lugdrug than Donnie almost every time.
When you're playing against him?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have been forcing Lugdrug in most of my Krognar lists just for thematic, right? And
yeah,
he's fine. Like, I am continually disappointed by Ward and how many times I'm able to actually achieve getting Ward to function the way I want it to. It seems like Downregard, specifically with monsters being able to double walk, is it stone form? Yeah, double walk stone form and then just not care that the Kanuk's wailing on it is much better than the times when my Downregard or my Marcus just, you know, or sorry, my Lugdrug or my Marcus takes like randomly 7 to 9 damage. I'm like, well, this just sucks.
So do you auto ban Brock or Styx or things that can get rid of your stone form?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't played Downregard that much, again, because I've been forcing Lugdrug, so. I also have only been playing a little bit of Krognar, you know, after I switched over from Bruellen, so.
I feel like Donnie creates situations in the game where there's nothing you can do. Lugdrug, on the other hand, he can't lock anyone down, right? Like, he can't do the things that Downregard
can. He can't stone grasp, but he can stun, he can push people.
Yeah, he does stuff, but he doesn't. Like, I've been caught several times in games where if I could just do something, I could win. And you just can't do anything.
Right. He's half support, half tank.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think Downregard is better.
Now, I do like being able to, like, place towards your ward and all that stuff. Like, that's all good. Like, he's got good things.
Stone Grasp can just fuck up someone's day. Does Lugdrug have something that can just fuck up someone's entire day?
So the energy, right? It's all about, you know, really it's the push. It's like, I have a guaranteed push. I don't have to roll dice. I don't have to, I could just push you away and then deal with something else, or push you into a monster, right? It can be an effective extra attack, if you will, if that's all you're looking to do with it. My issue is being able to actually trigger that. I mean, people just ignore him, right? Why would you ever attack someone who gets a benefit from being attacked?
I try not to attack him.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
I'll take the parting blow to walk away just so that I don't have to.
Yeah.
But that's me.
Okay. So yeah, we'll trot Dawnregar and Piper.
Is everyone running the same list tomorrow for the tournament?
I will now.
Yes, I'm probably going to bring Barnaskis instead of Elendir. I don't know yet. Yeah. I've not decided. I'm going to bring them both. I'll probably decide as I'm staying in there.
Okay. Anything else about Adepticon? I think we went over the list. I'm super excited about it. Anything to add?
I don't have anything. I'll probably just be exhausted the whole time.
Sounds like a con.
And angry.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right, with everyone that is going to be there, please come up and say hello. We should be wearing our stuff with logos on it and whatever. So please, if you listen, say hello, say hi. We want to meet everyone. And I think that is a cast. This has been Jeremy.
And Aaron.
And Kenny.
Take care.